Things at Zaxby's just got Zenzational. Because now you can experience their signature Asian Zenzation flavor three different ways. Get that sweet, tangy, citrusy, zesty fusion of flavor rolled up in a giant wrap, drizzled on a salad with an egg roll, of course, or tossed on their famous chicken fingers. Hey, flavor this good deserves its own private menu. Or should I say, Zenyu. The Asian Zenzation lineup. Available only at Zaxby's. Who's got the sauce?
Zaxby's.
Welcome to The Debate. Today, we are diving deep into a really quite radical reinterpretation of the setting presented in our source material. Specifically, we're looking at the Kingdom of Agrabah in the classic narrative Aladdin. The text, you see, provides these subtle yet potentially devastating clues that challenge its surface level presentation as, you know, a historical or mythical ancient tale. The central question we really have to address is this. Is Agrabah a timeless, fictional fairy tale kingdom that just happens to employ some, well, casual, anachronistic humor? Or are we looking at a civilization existing at least 10,300 years in the future, built quite literally atop the ruins of our own collapsed, technologically advanced world? I'll be arguing that the evidence really compels us toward that post-apocalyptic timeline and a technological reading of the artifacts.
And I approach this from a rather different angle. While that theory, the future timeline one, is intellectually rigorous, I'll grant you, and it's creatively fascinating, I maintain that the internal evidence, when you view it through the established lens of narrative tradition, points pretty squarely toward a classic fantasy reading, one rooted in intentional meta-humor. The alleged clues used to construct this, well, radical future history are, in my view, best understood as self-aware comedic devices. They're designed to transcend the mythical setting and connect directly with a contemporary audience.
Right, but my thesis is really grounded in the temporal mechanics introduced by the genie himself. Agrabah isn't ancient, it's the civilization that survived or rebuilt 10,000 years after a global collapse. The primary and, I think, most irrefutable evidence is the genie's knowledge base. He explicitly states he was trapped in the lamp for 10,000 years. Okay. Yet, upon his release, he instantly recognizes and references figures like, well, Elvis Presley, knows current celebrities, uses specific 20th and even 21st century slang, and performs impressions tied to modern media. Now, this level of comprehensive cultural knowledge is frankly utterly impossible if the story is set in some unspecified ancient past before, say, the 1950s. He must have been active, or at least stored with access to our cultural data stream, after our civilization existed and then subsequently collapsed.
That's certainly an interesting point, though I would frame it quite differently. The interpretation you're proposing requires us to treat a character whose entire narrative function is, let's be honest, comedic relief and deliberate anachronism as a reliable historical witness. The genie's knowledge of Elvis and contemporary culture doesn't function as archaeological evidence. It functions purely as meta-humor. I mean, fantasy narratives often grant characters this kind of arbitrary, almost omniscient knowledge purely for the sake of a joke. It signals to the audience that the world they're watching operates on the rules of comedy and magic, not, you know, physics and history. To impose rigid chronological consistency upon a character who breaks the fourth wall constantly is to fundamentally misunderstand the narrative contract here.
But the coherence, when you analyze it structurally, it's just too tight to dismiss as mere comedic happenstance. Let's be precise about the timeline calculation derived from the material itself. The genie, right? Upon observing Aladdin's rather rudimentary clothing, jokes that the outfit is so 3rd century. Now, if the genie has been gone for 10,000 years, that insult, a joke about obsolescence, it has to be referenced to a timeline starting from his release. If the current date is 10,000 years past the point of his entrapment, and he references an outfit being 300 years old, well, the story must be placed approximately in the year 10,300 or later. This perfectly confirms that Agrabah exists far in our future, having endured the long decay following the collapse of the civilization that created the genie in the first place.
I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that line of reasoning. The fundamental flaw in your 10,300 calculation is that it requires us to assume chronological consistency in a script that openly embraces chronological inconsistency purely for humor. You're treating the 3rd century joke as some kind of foundational text for chronological dating, rather than what it clearly is, a throwaway gag. It's designed solely to emphasize how utterly ancient the genie feels or how out of touch Aladdin looks. Narratively, the joke works because 3rd century just sounds ridiculously far in the past. To construct an entire future timeline based on one arbitrary numerical component of a setup punchline structure is, I think, to misread the primary intent of the text.
Okay, let's shift focus slightly then to the nature of the artifacts themselves, because this, I believe, strengthens the technological argument considerably, regardless of the narrative intent behind the jokes. If we accept the 10,000-year timeline, even provisionally, then the so-called magic artifacts become clearly readable as technological remnants. The genie isn't some magical spirit. He's an advanced high-technology entity, perhaps an artificial intelligence, or, you know, a sophisticated energy being that was created by our former world. The lamp, consequently, isn't a mystical container summoned by incantation, but a highly sophisticated containment device, a high-tech prison, essentially, used to store this powerful entity. This aligns perfectly with the classic idea that sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, especially to an inheritor culture.
Well, that's a compelling argument regarding the technological veneer. I see the appeal. But have you considered that interpreting the genie as AI might just be retroactively imposing our modern computing concepts onto traditional fantasy elements? Furthermore, if we look at secondary source materials, and I think this is relevant, they suggest the narrative conflict is rooted not in physics, but in political power. The source material references the Adil el-Din Index. Now, this isn't a treatise on thermodynamics. It's described as a structural analysis detailing a political plot. It involves a hidden ledger that heists power and creates a scapegoat twist concerning the genie's servitude. This suggests that the core mechanism of the story is really about the management of influence and secrecy, the narrative maneuvering of power, not the precise physics of some energy-based AI.
But wouldn't an advanced AI be the ultimate form of political power? The reason the genie is trapped for 10,000 years, bound by 3 wishes, could absolutely be a programmed failsafe, maybe designed to prevent the collapse of our civilization from being even worse. A system put on, say, read-only status and stored in a highly durable specialized containment unit, which is the lamp. The fact that his data seems corrupted or limited to roughly 20th century culture simply suggests that his core dataset was permanently archived at the point of collapse, preventing him from integrating the ensuing millennia of data. That would actually explain the internal contradiction of his knowledge quite neatly.
I find that explanation of data corruption a little too convenient, perhaps. It relies on imposing the constraints of modern computer science onto a magical object that, well, requires none. The 3-wish limit is a classic narrative device, essential for tension. It's a magical contract. If we must look for structure, the Adil el-Din analysis seems to confirm that the story is fundamentally about social hierarchy and political legitimacy. The lamp, in this context, is simply the ultimate object of power. Whether it achieves its ends through mystical energy or highly advanced programming is arguably secondary to its narrative function as a tool for political upheaval.
Okay, but we must move beyond just the internal logic of the plot and look at the physical evidence of the setting itself. The visual details noted in the backgrounds of Argabah, they consistently support the post-apocalyptic view. We see ruined buildings, broken metal and stone walls scattered throughout the city's margins. These aren't just typical ancient ruins, you know, crumbling stone. The broken metal components suggest materials requiring high-level smelting and processing engineering feats inconsistent with the supposed ancient desert setting depicted on the surface. These look very much like the remnants of a highly advanced past. Our past.
I'm just not convinced by that line of reasoning, because the visual interpretation remains highly subjective, don't you think? While Agrabah certainly features ruins, pretty much every successful fantasy setting provides glimpses of a more magnificent, perhaps decayed, past to establish scale and history. Why must broken metal definitively prove a post-collapse future rather than, say, standard ermine decay common to any vast, sprawling city built by a powerful, maybe even magically advanced ancient civilization?
You seem to be identifying elements that suggest advanced construction and immediately concluding they must belong specifically to our historical pre-collapse civilization. That feels like a jump.
Let's look more closely then at the magic carpet, which you earlier dismissed as merely, well, agile magic. If we were tasked today to design a fictional artifact that provided personal, stable, high-speed, three-dimensional transport, we would likely invent something that behaves exactly like the carpet does. It doesn't just flutter mystically. It maintains perfect stability regardless of the maneuvers. That suggests sophisticated internal gyroscopes, perhaps hidden propulsion systems, maybe even anti-gravity technology concealed beneath the woven textile. It moves with a precision and a responsive agility characteristic of advanced aerospace guidance systems, not a simple floating cloth animated by vague magic.
See, that highly detailed technological description is exactly where the theory, for me, falls into the trap of reductionism. You're essentially asking us to abandon the definition of magic simply because the object is effective at what it does. The very purpose of magic in a fantasy setting is often to defy physics, to be agile, stable, and responsive without needing gyroscopes or propulsion. Furthermore, the source material's description of the carpet's movement tends to be poetic and theatrical, focused on conveying wonder and speed, not engineering specs. To retroactively impose 21st century engineering physics onto the text like that ignores the fundamental literary contract that defines the object as magical within its own world.
I would frame it differently. The relentless consistency of the evidence, from the temporal displacement inherent in the genie's knowledge, the calculation placing the setting far into the future, the visible remnants of what looks like advanced construction materials, and the functional description of the artifacts, it's just too strong and too interconnected to dismiss as mere happenstance or a few isolated jokes. The coherence suggests a kind of secret history, perhaps intentionally embedded within the narrative structure itself.
I acknowledge that the internal consistency of the future timeline theory is intellectually compelling. It does read like a fantastic and, yes, well-structured thought experiment. However, it still falls short, I think, of displacing the narrative's primary purpose. The narrative's reliance on deep, open meta-humor, referencing Elvis, using modern slang, that indicates the function of these elements is entertainment and satire first, and maybe chronological indexing a distant second, if at all. The world seems primarily built to serve the characters and the comedy, requiring the listener or reader to accept the narrative contract of magic over the rigorous establishment of a precise future timeline based on a few, frankly, throwaway lines.
My final point remains this. When the meta jokes and the overt comedic elements are peeled back, the hard evidence we are left with, the genie's frankly impossible knowledge base, the calculated timeline derived from his own comments, the physical remnants of advanced engineering in the ruins, and the highly advanced capabilities of the artifacts like the carpet, they all consistently point to a civilization far, far in our future. Agrabah, in this reading, has inherited and fundamentally misunderstood our own technological remnants, rebuilding their culture on the ashes of the one that invented the AI and the anti-gravity carpet.
And while the post-apocalyptic theory provides a fascinating layer of complexity, I still believe the strongest reading of the text is that it employs intentional anachronism and meta-humor to tell a timeless story, a story of political maneuvering, self-discovery, and wish fulfillment. The difficulty we're having right here in definitively defining the object's power, whether it's magic or technology, is precisely why the narrative persists, why it's so enduring. The ambiguity is the genius of the text in many ways, designed to keep us questioning the boundaries between fantasy and advanced reality.
And that essential question leads us directly back, doesn't it, to the lamp itself, the focal point of the entire discussion.
An object of immense, mysterious power. The ultimate artifact that really defines the story.
We are left to wonder, is the lamp an ancient magical relic summoned by incantation and fueled by mystic energy? Or is it a highly sophisticated, incredibly durable technological containment device left behind when our world fell 10,000 years ago? We leave the listener with that image, the lamp. Perhaps a high-tech relic, perhaps a container of pure AI,
glowing intensely there in the desert light, symbolizing the enduring mystery of the artifact and the true, perhaps, hidden setting of Agrabah.